All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is another Toolbox Tuesday.
This is something we're going to talk about that I got in trouble with a lot. And so it's I definitely have a lot to say about this and a lot from experience. So I'm excited to get into it.
I say, STEM, you've never committed an end run or participated in one, have you?
Not knowingly.
I know. So. Well, before we get into it, if you have not been with us for Toolbox Tuesday before, in our practices every Tuesday, our huddle theme is Toolbox Tuesday, where we pick one of the hundreds of resources that we have available in our resource library and review it with our team to make sure that everyone is on the same page and to remind them of all the resources that they do have available at their disposal. So this one is very timely. We know a couple of weeks ago we talked about while the cat's away and people being out of the office, and an end run definitely happens, I think, even more frequently when some of those things occur. So we're talking about end runs today.
Yeah, this is one of those things where I didn't even know what the term meant until I was accused of it. But it's
No, till you were guilty of
I was guilty of it.
it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's one of those very seemingly not important, innocuous things that just doesn't, you don't even think that can be very damaging at all when you hear about it. And the realization for me is how damaging it really can be, and it is catastrophic when it happens multiple times from a culture standpoint, and from a leadership standpoint, and just having the team all feel like they can actually come to the right person and have a safe space to open up and say something. It really is important, very, very important.
Yeah, so what is an end run? And this also can come from patients as well, right? This is not just from a team-to-team standpoint, but an end run is ultimately when someone is trying to go around someone else that is in a position of authority to get the answer that they want. It's the if mommy says no, I'm going to go ask daddy type of situation. And it's usually done behind the scenes, not, well, I discussed XYZ with this person and I want to get your thoughts on it. It's no, you have been told no by someone, and so you're going to go talk to somebody else and pretend like you all didn't even have that discussion, you know. Or from a patient perspective, you know, the front office says your copayment is due at the time of service. Well, I'm going to go talk to Dr. whoever about that, and your front office just dies on the inside because they just have no authority then left with the patient to enforce the policies that you've asked them to enforce.
And where this really got me is not necessarily them asking one person and then asking me, but asking me because they either knew I didn't know the protocols. Maybe they're a front office protocol, billing protocol, something like that. And I admittedly don't. I know kind of, what how things should be the results, but I, as far as the nuts and bolts, I'm definitely not the best person to do a lot of those things. But they would ask me some of those things or ask me things that in give me the impression that they had already asked other people
Right.
and trying to get me to give an answer when they didn't already ask either Jennifer or someone else, but they knew the answer they were going to get from those people. And so they were just kind of not necessarily going from mommy to daddy, but they were essentially just going straight to the person who they knew would be a little softer.
And then you're assuming that I struggled with an answer, or I was still contemplating it, or something. And so, hey, I'm going to help and jump in on this right now.
Right. Solve it. Yeah.
And that led to some interesting conversations over
Well, but
the
that
phone
is
that
where the problems are, I think, arise right now. Because what happens is, from my standpoint at least, was I wanted to solve a problem for someone. I wanted to take a pain point away from someone. I wanted to get someone moving or past a choke point, whatever it was. And I wanted to do that the fastest way I knew how, which was just solve something, even though what I didn't realize is that I was either going against protocol unknowingly or going against something someone else said. And so it really, when I saw how damaging it was, it's the hardest thing in life and everything is to create a little bit of space between what you want to say and what you say. That, it's that split second little pause between when that twinkle of a thought, sparks in our brain to where it exits our mouth. There needs to be a space there. And when that space there makes you reconsider, is this the right thing to say? Even if it's not solving something, do I need to maybe just say, hey, let's consult with so and so about this. Let's go look at the protocols. Let's go, give me one more answer. Can I ask you one more question about what's going on? Something like that. Instead of just jumping in and trying to solve something really quick. Because when something, a lot of times when people would come to me was they knew that I would just solve something for them, even though it might have been their job to solve.
Right.
And that was a big one too. And so you kind of become this enabler in a bad way of giving people what they want, even though it's not what's best for them, essentially.
Well, and then I would be extremely upset about a situation like that. And, especially at the beginning as we were
I didn't
working
notice
through with
that.
this. Just for those of you who don't have context, I don't hide my emotions very well. I stand has told me multiple times I'm a see-through person. So if I'm upset with you, you're gonna know. But he didn't understand why I was so upset because in his mind, especially as we were working through some of these situations, he had solved the problem. So it didn't matter if I solved it, if he solved it, it's solved. What are you so upset about? It's the nice versus kind, right? It was solved in the moment. For the long term, it wasn't solved. It was just smoothing over the situation right at that second in time. And then 2 hours later, when the same situation came up, maybe Sten wasn't available. I'm supposed to be solving the problem, but then they're not looking at me as the one to help solve that or to reinforce protocols because wink, wink, nod, nod, I'm just going to go talk to Sten about this, and that's going to be the answer that I want.
So
So case study examples from our practices, because we still never have this come up as an issue, right?
even close.
Associate doctors are definitely guilty of doing this, and this is very related to gaslighting, which is going to be a topic that we're talking about next. These topics dovetail very nicely, but where this comes up just as an example of something that might happen in your practices, if you have associate doctors, they're probably interacting with your leadership team, office managers, whoever you have on point. And one of the things that has happened, and I hear very often from the doctors, is, well, I already talked to Sen about this, and he told me to come to you next so that we can work through the solution. I know with 100% certainty now, which we've had to work through over the years, but I know with certainty that Sten now is never going to tell a doctor to do XYZ if he hasn't let me know that this is what's coming down the pike, right? We are very open with communication now. So I can confidently tell that doctor, because anything about that, or I'm thinking that there might be more to that conversation there of like, let's just make sure that we're all on the same page. Or they don't tell us, they do the opposite and don't tell us that they talk to the other. And I also know with certainty that that's something that Sin wants to be involved in. If we're making a change to clinical protocol, I'm not just deciding that we're changing all of our composite materials without talking to him first about it. So it can happen on both ends.
And the more, and this is not, they're not trying to be bad when they do that. They're trying to get what they think is best. And it's just this is human nature a lot of times. And so, but when I think when you have that consistency, and this doesn't necessarily just have to come from the leadership team. This is also assistants asking associate doctors or assistants asking their managers or point people, as we call them in our practices. It happens all around. It doesn't just happen kind of just with me or just with Jennifer or just with some of the doctors. It happens all around everyone, and we need to be aware of it. But they're not trying to do a bad job. No one in our practice is trying to do a bad job. If they are and we recognize it, they're not there anymore. And I think that's the same in most practices. So it's them just using different tactics that they don't realize how damaging they are to get things done. And this is where the consistency really matters. Because if they realize that, hey, I can't go do that, I can't go around someone, or I can't, not try to pull the wool over someone's eyes, but if I can't not be crystal clear about who I already spoke with or what I already did, that's not going to work here. And when they realize that, it kind of just goes away, right? And the only time you actually see it kind of resurface a little bit is when you dig a little bit deeper and you find that that actually did, they did get away with that a few times. And so that's the kind of conditioned or trained to go and use that same tactic.
Yeah, and this comes up with, as Stan mentioned, with team too. And this comes up, this also is related again to nice versus kind when people are, and again, in air quotes, tattling on a doctor or another team member. The way that it works in our practices is If you can't resolve an issue with a person directly, then you go to one of our point people, right? And if a point person can't resolve that issue, then they come to me for additional support, suggestions, how do we handle this? Sometimes we do three ways, you know, all of that kind of thing. It automatically will have a red flag going off in my head when someone comes to me and says, I'm having XYZ problem with XYZ person who they may or may not name, right? That's always my favorite thing. Well, I'm having this problem, but I don't want to say who. If this is legitimately the problem that you're having, we're not talking about invisible ghosts here. What are we actually talking about? If this is the honest problem and we're not making it out to be something that it's not, we need to name what that situation is. Right. So they'll come to me to talk to me about it directly instead of going through the channels like they're supposed to. And then they don't want me to tell point people, the doctor that's involved, the other team member that's involved. That's not solving anything. And it's undermining my leadership team by not having them go to them to talk about those things. And we don't just have one person on the leadership team, partially so that we don't end up in a situation where one person has all the control. And if they don't jive with that specific team member, then you don't have anyone to go to. There's a reason that we have more people involved in it. So that's an example of how this is going to also happen from a team dynamic standpoint.
Again, and it happens a lot. And it happens a lot with younger assistants too. And they figured out pretty quick in our practice at least. But it's definitely something that we need to keep an eye on constantly because it's not a set it and forget it. It's not once you have that culture, it's permanent. Culture is something that needs to be nurtured every day, every hour. I mean, in every interaction. So if you're not practicing those things every day and every interaction, they go away. They get changed.
Well, a real-time example that we had happen last week, just to show you just kind of how the chain of this can go, was with my leadership team and one of our doctors. And this is also an area where the leadership team, I have to be very careful to make sure that they feel empowered to handle situations on their own. Now, they don't always handle a situation the way that I would like them to handle a situation. And sometimes there's coaching that goes along with that, like, hey, next time let's phrase it XYZ. But I can't pick them apart every single time that they handle a situation a different way than I would want them to, right? There's a coaching opportunity there because I also then can't pick and choose which situations I want them to handle. If I'm constantly intervening, then they don't know what the expectation is. So I have with our point people team that if a doctor has an issue in office, that they need to go to the point people first, whichever point people they have on site, that's their point of contact to handle the situation right at that moment. So last week we had a situation where a doctor had a question. He told me that he had a question that couldn't wait. It was a volcano. We'll talk about doctors who call volcanoes in another Toolbox Tuesday, but that's our sign in our practices that it's patient in the chair. Stop, drop, and roll whatever you're doing. I need an answer to this right this second. This is not something that we can't regroup on later. Volcano situation, can't wait. I have a question. I asked, did our point people, did you ask the point people team for help? He said, yeah, I did. They said they couldn't help me. You have to help me. So I went to our point people team and I said, hey, what's coming down the pike here that y'all couldn't help with so that I have a little bit of context before this happens? That wasn't what had happened. They gave an answer. He didn't like the answer that they gave him. So he was doing an end run coming to me to see if he could get a different answer and gaslighting them a little bit along the way, which again, we'll talk about next week. This is real-time example, but the point of me bringing this up is this whole interaction from start to finish, I watched from the time that this started, and this went over the course of 2 days, just to put into context. There was 7 hours of time that went back and forth between talking to this one, talking to that one, getting a call scheduled with him. Then we had to follow up the next day. That was all completely unnecessary. And that's what happens in a lot of these interactions. I call it the treasure hunt because if I don't have context of exactly what happened in this situation, I have to go find someone who did. All of these people are involved unnecessarily. And how much did that just take away from our patient care? How much did that distract that doctor from production? How much did that distract our team from what they are supposed to be doing to support getting production on your schedule? That didn't have to happen along the way. So that's really ultimately the point that we're trying to get to with all of this is we need to make sure we're not undermining our leadership team unnecessarily and that we're making this efficient and not, again, creating chaos where it doesn't have to exist.
It's the creating issues that are bigger than they are is also an issue, is also a problem too. there's a little bit of deflection that happens there, and probably a lot of deflection that happens there. That's another topic we can kind of talk about, definitely at another time, because I think that's a very important one. When someone feels like they're spoken to or get in trouble, all of a sudden their fingers start doing this. And that is an issue. But I think that, in this situation specifically, it was, let me go around, do the end run, even though they're not thinking that way, a little bit of saving face, right? Like, this is my way. I don't even remember the situation. I don't even know what the situation is, but I know kind of the theme of it. And if I can kind of go around and kind of plead my story here, plead my story there, I'm going to start to defend myself, essentially kind of trying to place blame on other people a little bit too. And that is not a great character at all. And it's something that needs to be definitely nipped in the bud, but it is an end run. I mean, that's probably one of the more extreme examples, but that is absolutely an end run.
And it just creates tension. Again, we're talking a lot about culture in the next few weeks here, and getting back to the nice versus kind. Solving the problem right in that moment in time is not always the best course of action, and it doesn't solve it for the long term. And sometimes it's painful, even when there's a volcano situation. If there's a patient that's involved and you're trying to get someone scheduled, that is a high priority, and I'm not dismissing that. That's always our focus. When we talk to our team about priorities throughout the course of the day, it is always patient in office, patient in chair, getting them on the schedule, making sure that we are executing on the production that is on the schedule 100% of the time. Sometimes you have to also take a step back and realize that if we're doing an end run like this, you could be damaging your culture and damaging your relationships with your team far beyond that one patient in the chair. And so there is a little bit of discernment that has to happen there of this whole situation that was quote unquote a volcano was not a volcano, nor did it even have to be addressed the day of. It became a volcano because of the steps that were taken. And I'm as guilty getting involved in this as anyone else. Even though I'm calling out the end run situation, I'm responding to the quote unquote volcano without qualification of what the first question I should have asked in this situation was, is this affecting the patient who is in your chair for production right now? That should have been my first question, because the answer to that would have been no. Great, we're going to talk about this later. Because this entire conversation also affected that patient that was in the chair that didn't have anything to do
Yeah, we see this a
with
lot.
this.
We've seen this a lot in practices that we've acquired, where there's, the office manager that's been there since before people had teeth, and they kind of hold the keys to the kingdom a little bit too. And what happens is you see a lot of new dental assistants, new front office, whatever, kind of come through and not stay very long. But you have one or two people that have been there forever, and it just kind of what you start to see is that there were some end run, there was some gaslighting, there's some deflection issues kind of happening that's really toxic to that culture. And it's not that the people, in the higher ups and kind of those leadership positions are trying to do a bad job. It's they're trying to do, this is their way, and this is, if you can't jump on board and kind of do it my way, and I'm always going to have the answers, I'm going to tell you what to do, I don't want to hold anything back. But what happens is that the people underneath them really don't have a voice too. And so that those end runs really become, they just don't say anything anymore. And they kind of become like they've been, had their wings clipped a little bit. And that those that's where this the end run situation kind of becomes very toxic and very damaging, because then you get that revolving door of people that you're constantly trying to hire, constantly trying to train. And it really isn't the problem with the office manager, but it's just a different shift that they need to make and kind of realize it. Unfortunately, a lot of them, doctors aren't aware enough to point it out, or too afraid to point it out, quite frankly, is more common than that we've seen, because they're afraid of losing that office manager or upsetting that office manager. But that happens a lot of times that we've seen, and we've seen it in different practices we've worked with, different practices we've acquired, and definitely a lot of the people that we've talked to just in different groups we're a part of. But it's very, very, very common.
So recognize when this is happening, and it happens to the best of us. recognize when this is happening on your team. This is very type of the nice versus kind. We're not looking for just a short-term solve. We want to solve these things long-term because it all is tied back to our culture. And that you have to guard. That's not something that you can repair overnight. It's not something you can build overnight. It's something that you're constantly working on. It's a living organism within your practices, and all these little pieces add to it. Like I said, only dead fish go with the flow. Right? To the point of, people are not just okay with things. They just might not be saying anything about it. And you don't want to have that be an environment where there's just a couple that are tromping over everyone else. You lose so much participation from your team if that's the way that it is. So this will also be followed up in part two of this with our gaslighting topic that's going to be coming down the pipe next. That's the next level of this. This one is a hot take for sure. But in the meantime, if you would like to connect with us to hear about our private client options that we have available, our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. You can reach us through our website at pathwaydentalsolutions.com, or we are on all of the social media platforms. So please feel free to reach out and we would be happy to help you. Until then, we will see you guys next week for another Toolbox Tuesday.
All right, bye, guys.